Chapter 15. Rosie was just winding up her search for army personnel who had been retired out on mental health grounds. No one could be placed in Salton or the surrounding area at the time of the shootings. She was now concentrating on Bethany Gadd, a female sharpshooter who had been one of the police force's shining stars. Rosie found the report to be particularly disturbing. Bethany had been a CTSFO, an elite counter-terrorist firearms officer, highly trained and dedicated. She became involved in a controversial police shooting and saw her life and her precious career disintegrate simply for doing her job. The ensuing court case destroyed her. She spent months in and out of psychiatric hospitals and then dropped off the radar. She was the only one of the possible suspects that Rosie just could not locate. Her mobile buzzed. A message from Max. The twins had not improved, in fact they were worse, and Max had made an appointment to see the GP. Thoughts of Bethany Gadd evaporated, and all Rosie could think about was Tim and Jessica. She checked the clock. She had an hour before her shift ended. Rosie chewed on her thumbnail. Could she ask to leave early? It would be the third time she'd done so recently, and it wouldn't look good. Sooner or later, she was going to have to choose between her children and her job, and she had no idea what to do. Rosie texted Max and said she'd meet him at the surgery. She stood up and slowly made her way to Jackman's office. He'd understand, she was sure, but for how much longer? He needed reliable team members, which did not include one who wasn't pulling her weight. She had to decide. Kenneth Harcourt paced up and down the foyer at the Fenside Gun Club. He had made this club into what it was today, a very successful business. From a single range, he had extended to three, with 100-meter and 50-meter ranges, and also a clay shooting layout. He hosted regular competitions in all disciplines, and even had facilities for private companies wishing to showcase their products. Along with the social club, it was now a very popular venue. But now, haunted by the ghost of his old armourer, Arthur Barnes, the place that had once been his hobby, where he could indulge his love of guns, was suddenly full of dark secrets. Barnes had been assassinated. There was no other word for it. But why? Surely that scheming, adulterous witch of a wife of his wouldn't have gone so far as to have had him murdered. Would she? Harcourt paced. Worse still, it could be his old gun that had been used to kill his friend. Why the hell hadn't he just deactivated it and hung it on the bloody wall? Suddenly, guns had taken on a whole new meaning for Kenneth Harcourt. Every member of his exclusive club had become a potential suspect. Was he a good enough shot? Was she ruthless enough to shoot a human being? Wasn't that man ex-army? Isn't he training to shoot with the British team? What do I really know about that guy? This sniper had to be connected to either him or his club in some way, so perhaps he was the one who could discover who it was. Harcourt called the number the detective had given him. He would offer his help, and mean it. He would do it for the sake of his old friend Arthur Barnes and his own peace of mind. They were on their way to Hawker's Fen. This time Charlie drove while Marie and Robbie discussed the possibilities that the Lorimers were responsible for all the recent thefts.
"It all depends on Nimbus, doesn't it?" said Robbie. "If they stole the horse, then 10 to 1 they nicked the pigs, and the diesel as well."
"And the guns?" asked Marie doubtfully.
"They all know how to handle them. Plus, they'd have an axe like the one they used on Harcourt's door and gun cabinet."
Marie pictured the massive woodpiles she'd seen in the corner of the yard.
"Good point, Robbie, but I'm still convinced that Rachel would never condone theft. If they are responsible, I'm betting they'll be far more scared of her than whatever the law might dish out. Prison might actually seem like the better option."
"Then we're forced to look at one of the working sons or the dubious cousin Ezra?" asked Charlie.
"Which is why we are here."
If only they hadn't left that grotty farm when they did. The horse was essential to their inquiry, and by now the Lorimer boys would have had plenty of time to make it disappear. Marie leaned forward.
Foot down, Charlie.
As soon as they arrived, Marie and Robbie went to the front door and informed Rachel Lorimer of what they intended to do.
I can get a warrant, Rachel, but I don't want to go that route. It would be better if you just allow us to walk around your property and chat to the family members we missed earlier.
Rachel Lorimer finally agreed, although not without treating them to some colourful language and a few barely veiled threats.
Charlie, the stable, show us where you saw the horse, Marie barked.
They ran over to where Charlie and Kevin had seen Jacob tending to the chickens.
Over there, Sarge, that old barn, that's where I saw him.
Stepping over horse muck, Marie and Robbie followed Charlie towards the barn. It was empty.
What do you want?
They'd been indulging in some colourful language of their own.
Ma don't like to hear words like that. She'll make you wash your mouth out with soap and water.
There stood Jacob, a heavy sack of feed draped over his arm, as casually as if it were made of tissue paper.
Hello, Jacob, Marie said. We were looking for the horse that was here earlier. Where is it?
His eyes narrowed.
Who wants to know?
She sighed. This was not going to be easy.
We do, Jacob. We are the police. Look.
She held out her warrant card, and the others followed suit.
I'm D.S. Marie Evans. I knew your granddad, Caleb.
Jacob eyed the ID card suspiciously.
I can't read what they say. It could be anything.
Robbie smiled at him.
We are real coppers, but we're just in plain clothes.
Show me your whistle and your truncheon, then.
Marie took a different approach.
Your ma said you were to help us.
Ah, okay. I moved him to another barn, a nicer one. I wanted him to be happy. He's a lovely animal.
Good lad. Ma said you'd show him to us, Marie said. Can we see him, please, Jacob?
He turned on his heel and walked towards a smaller, newer structure a little further away. A massive chestnut horse stood with its head over the half-door. Immediately it saw Jacob. It gave a little whinny and nuzzled him gently.
Well, I'm damned, muttered Robbie. Will you look at that? Is it Nimbus? Asked Marie.
Without a doubt. Here, look at the photo.
He showed her. The markings and the shape were identical.
Get a picture, Rob, and do as Jackman asked. Send it to Bullimore.
They went into the barn, and while Robbie photographed the horse, Marie turned to Jacob.
He likes you, doesn't he?
I like him too. We're friends.
What's his name?
Trigger.
Trigger.
Did you name him Jacob?
No. He's Uncle Ezra's horse.
Marie tried not to react.
So, did Uncle Ezra bring him with him when he came? Did Trigger gallop along behind the motorhome or sit inside? I can't imagine that, can you?
Jacob giggled.
Of course he didn't. A man stole Trigger, so Noah and me went and got him back.
Oh, right, I see. Well, that's fair enough.
She stared at the horse. You're looking after him nicely, aren't you? He gave her a scathing look.
Where did you learn to care for horses, Jacob?
Didn't learn. They tell you what they need. You just have to look and listen.
Great, thought Marie. A horse whisperer as well. Before she could say anything more, the barn door flew open and Noah crashed in.
Get away from my brother. Don't listen to him. He's not right in the head. Go away.
Calm down, Noah. We're only talking, and your ma gave us permission, Marie said. We're not upsetting him, all right?
Noah looked almost hysterical.
You don't understand. You can't believe what Jacob says. You can't.
Oh, I think we understand all too well, said Robbie quietly. Now, before you scare the horse, I suggest you and I go and have a nice little chat outside.
Before he could protest, Robbie had frog-marched him back into the yard.
Is Noah in trouble?
Jacob didn't look particularly worried, just interested. Marie smiled at him.
Maybe. It depends on whether he tells the truth or not, doesn't it?
I always tell the truth, Jacob stated flatly.
Then you won't be in trouble.
He nodded slowly.
That's what Ma says. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
She's right. Now, about the 6 pigs you took from Mr. Beaton's farm. Was that something to do with Uncle Ezra too?
Sort of.
Jacob screwed his face up into a frown.
Uncle heard that they were being ill-treated, so we rescued them. It was for their own good, and now they're really happy. Want to see them?
Later, Jacob. Right now, I'd rather see your uncle.
He's not home yet.
The giant youth's face lit up in a broad smile.
He brings me presents from the town. Yesterday he brought me some sweets that looked like spaceships. They tasted fizzy and I really like them. Maybe he'll bring me something else tonight.
Maybe, said Marie, wondering how to tell him that his friend Trigger would not be in his new home for much longer. Most likely Clay Bullimore was already preparing his horse box to fetch his beautiful Nimbus home.
Sarge, Robbie stuck his head back through the door. I've got a sort of confession to all 3 thefts. Horse, pigs and Diesel, but not the guns. And you were right, Rachel knows nothing about it. Noah is shitting himself about what she's going to say.
What the hell is this Ezra playing at? Asked Marie. Supposedly family means everything to him and he wants to keep in touch. Then he turns the kids into young offenders.
Sarge, Charlie Button said, I suggest we talk to Ezra before we confront Rachel Lorimer. He's obviously fed these 2 young guys a whole stack of lies, and I'm wondering why. Maybe there's a valid reason for it.
If there is, I'll be damned if I can think of one, Marie grumbled.
But you're right. No good lighting the blue touch paper under Rachel before we know the facts.
Robbie's phone buzzed.
Message from Bullimore. He'll be here in 30 minutes.
Marie gave a sigh.
There was no avoiding it. Jacob had to be told.
Jacob, come and sit down with me for a minute.
She led him over to a couple of bales of hay and sat down facing him.
Listen, Jacob. Your lovely horse doesn't really belong to your uncle. The real owner is a man who has lots of horses. He loves his animals very much and takes good care of them. And the horse's name is Nimbus, not Trigger. I don't know why your uncle lied about it, but I'm afraid he did, and Nimbus has to go home to his real owner. He's on his way here now, do you understand?
Jacob stared at the horse.
It was in good condition, I suppose. He hadn't been badly treated. And the place we took him from was clean, smelt nice, fresh hay and leather.
He looked from the horse to her.
Why did Uncle lie?
I don't know. But I'm going to find out, and I'll make sure to let you know, I promise.
Do you think I could visit him? Trigger, I mean, Nimbus. Will the man let me, do you think?
Oh, boy, how to answer this. You steal his favourite horse and then want visiting rights.
I'll ask him, Jacob, but no promises, okay?
The boy nodded and got to his feet.
I'll get him ready then, and say goodbye.
Good lad.
Marie heaved another sigh, of relief this time.
As a matter of interest, Jacob, wasn't your ma surprised to see a horse here? What did you tell her?
Nothing. Uncle Ezra told her we found it running loose and brought it here for safekeeping while he looked for the owner.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thank heavens for that. At least the sudden arrival of a horse box wouldn't come as too much of a surprise. Leaving Jacob to sort out Nimbus, Marie went back into the yard. When was Ezra coming back? 1 horse, 6 pigs, and a couple of cans of diesel. What in hell's name was the man playing at? Well, while they waited, there were 2 more Lorimer sons to talk to. Levi and Paul.